bowels of the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 24. What a joy it is to be gathered with the people of God in the house of God. Amen. And you say, preacher, why are folk excited? Well, if you know the risen Lord like we do, you get excited too. The world will get crazy at ball games and races, and they expect us to go to church and act like we're dead. Well, we ain't dead, and our Lord ain't dead. Amen. And we enjoy going to church. Well, nobody had to make us come. Lord, have mercy. Now, you had to be made to come to church. You're in bad shape. I'm telling you, as a child of God, we get to go to church. And I'm glad of that today. Amen. Luke chapter 24, you will and able to stand this morning. I'll begin reading verse number 13 today. Luke chapter 24 and beginning in verse number 13. Luke chapter 24, verse 13, the Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and high rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also seen a vision of the angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him that they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he taught us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for this opportunity to stand and to open the Word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, that we know you died, was buried, and rose again, and are alive forevermore. Oh, Lord, I pray for just a little while you'd give me unction of the Holy Ghost that I might preach the Word of God, that it would not fall upon deaf ears, but God, may it get into the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls here today. May the Holy Ghost convict them that they'd run to you and be saved. Help us as your people. Lord, we give you glory, for you're worthy and receive glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I read to you, no doubt, some familiar verses today as we are in Luke chapter 24. Matter of fact, the first 12 verses we find where Mary and the others came to the tomb where Jesus had been laid. And when they got there, the stones rolled away. And we find that the angel gives the message, he is not here, but he is risen. And I can't stress it enough, and I make no apologies for it. It is good in having a risen Lord. Amen. For if he was not alive, there would be no justification. He was offered. He died for our offenses, our sin. But he was risen again for our justification. Now, we that are saved are justified by the blood of Christ. Oh, free, and I'm glad that we know he's alive and well. But we find him later in that day, that first day of the week, as there's been several things going on. The women have went down and the tomb's empty. He's appeared to Mary, and she was weeping and at the tomb, and she thinks he's the gardener. But when he speaks her name, all doubts are removed, for she had heard that voice before and knew who Jesus was. And we find now these two disciples are headed toward Emmaus, and their hearts are broken, they're confused, they are bewildered. And yet when the Lord himself drew near, it changed everything in their life and changed their whole day. And I'll tell you something, listen well, you that are saved, life has troubles, yes, and man, there's days you're disappointed, discouraged, but when Jesus draws near, it'll change your day, it'll help you. Hey, when Jesus is near. Oh, friend, I thought about this as these verses, and I'm going to preach just a minute, God helping me on this subject of the reviving power of a resurrected Lord. A reviving power of a resurrected Lord. For we see these men began their journey one way, but they wind up going back to Jerusalem in a different atmosphere and attitude. Now there's three things I'll look at and I'll be done. Let me say, first of all, a resurrected Lord can help you to see. For the Bible said there in verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. But then when you get to verse 31, after he breaks bread, the Bible says, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Hey, they started that day. Their vision wasn't very good. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know what was going on. Hey, but when a resurrected Lord appeared, their eyes is made to see again. They can see who he was because he was there. Oh, friend, can I tell you a resurrected Lord can help you to see, first of all, that you need to be saved. Nobody's ever been interested in getting saved until the Lord opens their eyes. Amen. This world is in darkness today. This world is blinded to their sin nature and their sin problem. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, before you got saved, you were spiritually blind. You say, preacher, how do you know this? That's a true statement. It happened to Brother Paul in Acts chapter 9. Amen. He was blinded. He had a sunstroke, if you please. But I'm talking about an S-O-N stroke. Amen. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus one day. A light shined out of heaven. You know, there's a people in the day we live in, they don't want us being emotional. They don't understand why we talk over and over again about the day we got saved. But you study the life of Paul. Everywhere he went, he had the same words. It was at midday. That's how he began. He wanted them to know, I met the Nazarene. He opened my eyes. The Bible said in Acts chapter 9 that the scales fell off his eyes. Oh, I'm to say today, I'm glad for that day 36 years ago that he helped me to see. He showed me I was lost. He showed me Christ died for me. He showed me that Christ rose again. Oh, and I'm glad. And friend, when he saved me, I began to see it fresh and I see like I never saw before. Oh, sinners don't understand us. Sinners don't. They don't understand why we'd holler in church. They don't know why we get excited with the songs we sing. Well, why does that Bible keep thrilling you after all these years? It's because the Lord opened our eyes. Oh, you say, preacher, I've been witnessing somebody and I can't make them see. You got it. You'll never make anybody see. But oh, when Jesus himself draws nigh, oh, he can open their eyes. Hey, they can be made to see that they need to be saved. Hey, that's what we're hoping for some of you right here today. You may be religious as the day is long. You may be what people call a good person. I'm going to tell you, you're lost and you need Christ. Oh, and if the Lord had just opened your eyes to that today. Oh, friend, he can help you see you that you need can, so you can be saved. Hey, let me say this. Resurrect Lord can help you to see also so you can serve him. Amen. You see, I don't know anything without the Lord. Can't do anything without the Lord. If he doesn't guide the way, if he doesn't lead us, oh, friend. You see, matter of fact, I thought about this over the last several days. There in Revelation chapter 3, as he is talking about the church of the Laodiceans, he tells them in chapter 3 and verse 17 that they're blind. Now, he's talking to the church. You do know that. He's talking to folk that go to church. But you know what? Even saved folks sometimes can get something wrong with their vision. Amen. Sometimes things cloud your vision. Sometimes your eyes just get distracted. Amen. And there's a lot in this world that is distracting today. Amen. But he told them what you need is get you some eye salve, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Hey, the good word of God, the good Holy Ghost is the best spiritual eye salve that a child of God can have to help you with your vision. Hey, when somebody in church said, I just can't see spending money on visions, on missions, you let us know about your eyes. Amen. When you say, I just can't see why they always won't have meetings, you're telling us that there's something got wrong with your eyes. Amen. Oh, friend, but a resurrected Lord, he can help you to see. Oh, friend, that's who we want you to meet today. His name's Jesus, and he is alive and well. Let me say, not a resurrected Lord can help you to see. But number two, a resurrected Lord can cause your heart to be stirred. For verse 17 tells us, and he's talking to these disciples, and he says this, Jesus does, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? But then we find out in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, they began that journey, their hearts sad, their hearts depressed. Oh, but when Jesus drew near, that resurrected Lord, it helped them that their heart got stirred up within them. Hey, some of you that are saved today, you've come in here, really and truly spiritually, you're in kind of rough shape. Things in life ain't going like you thought. Matter of fact, did you notice in verse 21 where the disciples said, but we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel from the sight of all this. Today's the third day since these things were. You understand they missed out on why he came. They didn't fully understand it. They're so heartbroken now, 3 days, and he done told them. He had told them, I'm going to lay my life down, but I'll raise it back up. He told them to destroy this tabernacle, told about this body, the temple. He said, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He let them know what he was going to do, and they missed it. They missed it. Hey, before you get too rough on them, though, realize you miss a whole lot at church too. Amen. I can tell sometimes you're preaching, it kind of goes over folks' head, it's gone. Amen. Oh, but that when you see somebody got their eyes this light up when God helps them with say, hey, it's evident in our life. These men, this couple here, they're walking and they're sad. Hey, do you realize? Can I say this first? That life can cause your heart to be sad. He even asked them that verse, why are you sad? Why are you so sad? Why are you like you are? You know, as a Christian, you can get your heart be sad. There's events in life will make you sad. You know, I've heard people say, well, y'all laugh and cut up. I'm going to tell you something. Laugh all you can. That's right. Because you're going to cry more than you want to in life. Amen. Hey, sometimes this life just makes your heart sad. There's events going through life, whether it's death or whether it's sickness or financial trouble or a problem in a home. Man, there are some things that can make your heart sad today. Oh, hey, life could also make you stressed. They're stressed in verse 21 when they said, we trusted. Hey, they're stressed. We thought it was going to go a different way. You ever get stressed? Now, I know that the spiritual cliche, everybody likes it. They got bumper stickers and T-shirts and every preacher from here to Timbuktu and back like to say it. We're too blessed to be stressed. You heard that? It's good to say, just don't practice it real good. Amen. Sometimes with the stress, we fail to get blessed. Amen. Hey, you say, well, preacher, I ain't never been like, well, hang around. Amen. You're going to have them down days. Hey, life can cause stress. That's right. Hey, I try to walk with God. I want to be close to the Lord. Even in my life, hey, I may be the pastor, but they things stress me. That's right. It ain't just church, it's life in general. So it just stresses you out. You don't know what to do next. Oh, friend, life can also not only cause you to be sad and stressed, but make you slow to believe. For he rebuked them in verse number 25. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, hey, look up here. Now, I know you believe real quick, real easy all the time. So you pray for your pastor. Sometimes he's slow to believe. That's right. Hey, even this past week, about Monday, Tuesday, got something in the mail. We just got moved in that house, and the Lord bless us getting in there. And man, I got a letter in the mail from a life insurance policy, and we've been changing some things over. And what that thing said, I thought, wait a minute. That ain't what that fella told me in my office. And it bothered me, stressed me out. Amen. You mess with my money, I'm going to get it stressed quick. You will too, bless your spiritual heart. Amen. Oh, it bothered me real bad. And I had to call that agent. I said, I want to ask you something. I said, got this letter. He said, preacher, don't you remember I told you? I said, no. Because I forget better than I remember. Amen. He said, throw it in the trash. It don't mean a thing. Don't mean nothing. Just don't pay it no mind. I said, well, hallelujah. I got to believe in then. Amen. Hey, sometimes we are so sad, so stressed out that we're just slow to believe him. Amen. Hey, life will do it. Hey, a resurrected Lord can cause your heart to get stirred. For when the Lord came and he touched their heart, he can cause a heart to burn. Verse 32, they said, did not our heart burn within us? Hey, only a resurrected Lord can do that. I've never read anything nor heard a report of anybody in these other type of religions in the world ever talking about their heart burning in them. From the Word of God stirring them. I ain't ever heard that. Matter of fact, you'll never find them having a testimony meeting out in the mosque. Or at a lot of these cults, they don't have it. Hey, only Christians have testimony meetings. Amen. And the reason we smile, the reason we wave our hand, holler amen and glory, is he's stirring us. Amen. This Bible does something down in the deep end of my soul sometimes. Hey, even on my worst day, he can cause that book to become alive in me and burn and stir me up for his glory. Oh, friend, hey, it causes it burn. Hey, it also, hey, he touches a heart. He can get blessed because they're blessed as he opened the word to them. Man, I got reading this the other day. Matter of fact, in the days leading up to Easter Sunday every year, I just have something I always do. I like to read every account of the resurrection in the Scripture. I just do that one sitting, just sit down, get reading them all together and getting it all back in my mind good, how the day went, had all these kinds of things. And I got looking when he talked to them about he opened up in the Scriptures of the things concerning himself. I got thinking, could you imagine that Bible lesson? Can you imagine that sermon? He got talking about over there in Exodus chapter 12. Said, boys, that first Passover, when I told Moses, get that lamb without spot, get it, set it up, make sure nothing's wrong with it. Then you slay that lamb, you take that blood, put it on the door. He said, that was me. Amen. He said, you remember when Isaiah said about a root out of dry ground? That was me. Hey, throughout the Word of God, he took that Bible and began to bless them with the Word of God. Hey, that's why we gather as we do 3 times a week. Let this Bible begin to burn in us and bless us and help us, amen, to keep on going. Oh, friend, a resurrected Lord can help you to see a resurrected Lord. I can cause your heart to be stirred. Let me say number 3, a resurrected Lord can cause you to make haste to share the gospel. They drug going to Emmaus that day. There ain't no running. There ain't no fast. Nothing. Before verse 31, nothing, buddy. They're sad. They're a pitiful bunch on the road to Emmaus. But as soon as he breaks that bread with them, you say, preacher, what in the world you reckon it was about that breaking bread? Well, I believe when he got to praying over, they said, man, that sounds familiar. I think I've heard somebody pray like that before. And about that time he reached it out and that garment run up and they saw them wounds in his hand. I believe that's when everything turned around. He gave them that bread and they saw them. Their eyes opened. He vanished out of their sight. Hey, they didn't walk back to Jerusalem. They didn't say, let's go back tomorrow. We better plan us a day, make sure the males took care. No, the Bible said in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. What did that? A resurrected Lord. Why do you keep telling somebody about the gospel? Is a resurrected Lord stirring you up to do it? Amen. Hey, you see, in these verses, we see first they rose up. They didn't sit still. They didn't remain idle. They got up. Then we see they returned. They went back to where those disciples were. They went where the churches gathered. They said the Lord is in. He's risen indeed. Hey, and has appeared to Simon. They went back. They began to resound that name. Hey, he is risen. Amen. Hey, I'm glad. Now, and you know me well enough, I don't just get stirred up about resurrection one time a year. I'm apt to get stirred up riding down the road on Monday. Amen. I get hearing, man, they do some songs, just do something special in your heart. You get talking about him being alive, he just does something for me. Because I know it's true. I'm not hoping this stuff's true. I know it's true. Amen. You say, but preacher, you ain't never saw him with your eyes. No, but I sure have felt his touch. And I know he lives within. I know he's there. I don't have to hope, think, yes, I know he's there. Amen. Hey, the problem with people today is all they got is religion. They don't have a relationship with the Redeemer. They just got religion. And there is a world of a difference in having religion and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been different in my life for 36 years. He moved inside of me. He made the difference in me. Oh, friend, hey, I mean this. I try my best to disciple new converts. I believe it's good. I believe you need to get them grounded. And more so today than ever before. We're seeing people get saved that have got 3 generations before them that have never known God. They wasn't saved. Nobody went to church. Nobody read the Bible. We've got that going on now. That's who we're witnessing to right now. And friend, they don't know much of anything. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been raised in church. And the very moment I got saved, my life turned around. At 10 years old, it turned around. Because I found out that moment he moved in me. I knew from that moment, hey, I was going to live for him. I wanted to go to church. I wanted that Bible. I wanted it taught. I wanted it preached. Hey, my singing even changed. I've always liked music. Man. Shelton people up in the mountain, they're musicals. A lot of them sing, pick guitars and everything else. And I want to tell you something, listen to me. Music's big in my family tree. But you understand this, it changed the tune in my heart when I got saved. I really began to sing out after I got saved. I'll be real good, honest with you. It don't matter who shows up in my building, who's around, praise God, when you're going down the road. Hey, I'm sure I'll kind of puzzle folk riding down the road a few times. Amen. Now, you just talking out loud as you go, and everybody just thinks you're on your cell phone. But if you get to waving your hand and stuff, and they look over and you're crying and squalling, they said, there's something going on in that car. Amen. You can't back neither. Amen. And it won't wear off. Amen. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying the reviving power of a resurrected Lord. That's what's the need of this day is. Amen. Hey, we're going in revival tomorrow night. You know what the reason we can have revival? A resurrected Lord. That's why. Hey, if he wasn't alive, hey, we're wasting our time. That's right. I got good news. We ain't wasting our time. It's worth it all, praise God. The world may scoff, they may mock, they may laugh. Let them. I don't really care. I got over that a long time ago. Amen. Because there's going to come a day when it all comes to the end. Amen. I like what that preacher on radio years ago said. He said, when the smoke all clears, it'll be me and Jesus. Amen. And that's right. When it's all said and done, we're on the winning side, we either say. Amen. You ain't got to hold your head down. You can lift your head up. Praise God. We're headed to the city whose builder and maker's God. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to exalt you. I've tried my best to preach the word of God you've laid upon my heart for this hour. Lord, take it and use it. God, I pray that your people, Lord, today, there's some here, Lord, no doubt they're cold and indifferent in their heart. Lord, they need that reviving power down on the inside. Lord, there's those who are saved and they're trying to serve you, but life has got them sad. Life has got them stressed. Lord, there's a lot going on in their life. Lord, I pray today you'd revive their heart. Oh, God, as only you can. Then we ask you for that, and it's lost in this place today. Lord, only you can open the eyes of the sinner. Oh, God. Open those spiritual eyes. They'd behold you. Repent and be saved. Lord, all you do, we thank and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've done my best to preach what God gave me today. Is there one in our midst would lift a hand and say, preacher, would you please remember me in prayer? I'm lost. I don't know Christ as my Savior. We just want to pray for you. We ain't going to embarrass you. We're not going to point you out. None of that. On the main floor of the balcony, wherever you are, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Anybody. Those of you that are saved here today, maybe there's some problem. There's some things going on in your life. And you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm facing some. Amen. Hands are going up everywhere. We all have got some problems. We've all got things that are pressing upon us. I'm glad the Lord is here. He lives inside of you, you that are saved. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Let's stand. And while we stand, we're going to sing an invitation, Brother Tim. Pass me not, old gentle Savior. If you need to come pray, come on. If you just need to come bow and say, Lord, I thank you that I know you're alive. And thank you for saving. That's all right, too. Whatever God touched your heart, if you're burdened down, come, let him help you. If you're lost, come. We'd love to show you in the Bible how to be saved while we sing.